Got a couple of announcements before we begin today. Next Sunday, the first service, we're going to have baptisms. So if you would like to be baptized, if you know someone that would like to be baptized, then make sure they come and they be a part. Have them get with me or Pastor Arnold. Also, there is a new study starting on Wednesday night, Growing in the Holy Spirit. Enlarge, live larger through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit is the focus. And then we need two more teams for Cookie Outreach. If you want more information about that, you could get with Paige, get with Arnold. But we need two more teams. The team's made up of two people, and we need the help. So if you're interested in that, please get with, again, Arnold and tell him. And then on March 2nd and 3rd, there is a national women's retreat. It's going to be at the country camp. It's Discovery Camp where our kids go and have spring break. They're going to leave Friday morning. They will return Saturday afternoon, and the cost is $30. So if you're interested in being a part of that, get with Audra Woods, Pastor Dustin's wife, and she will give you, ma'am? Do what? Oh, Anderson. Okay. It's like, what did I say wrong? You just didn't let me finish. I was going to say Audra Wood Anderson. I didn't get that. Okay. Anyhow, get with my daughter-in-law, and she'll tell you about the information, okay? Amen. First mistake I made today, but just be ready. I'm going to make some more. On a roll. So, I have titled the message this morning, Expect More Because There Is More. Wednesday afternoon, I believe, was probably, not believe, but was the most horrific day in the life of Broward County. 14 children, to my understanding, were killed. 3 adults were killed, and they were killed at the hands of evil. 17 families will never be the same. Most, if not many, will have ingrained in their mind the memories of that day. And many saw things that I should never see. And candidly, their lives have been changed from that day forward. And what we've always said is that now what used to be normal for them is no longer normal, and they will have to find a new abnormal normal in their life. With all of that said, my question is, why have Christians, you and I, become so content with the mundane lives that we live every day when you compare those lives to the lives of the disciples in the New Testament? Because they had lives where they actually experienced a spirit-empowered life. You know, all of the miracles that perform, you and I need to understand, are God's miracles that He works through man. But in the New Testament, you'll hear about Peter walking on the water. He sees Jesus, he gets scared, he calls out. He said, if that's you, Lord, allow me to get out. And Jesus says, come, and Peter walks on the water. Peter and John healed a lame man. And at one place in Scripture, Peter was so in tune with God, and God used him in such a mighty way that when he would walk past, his shadow would touch people and they would be healed. Philip cast out demons. Peter raised a young woman by the name of Tabitha. Paul and Barnabas healed the cripple. But I'm puzzled and I'm concerned why so many Christians today are satisfied with professing Christ, but yet not experiencing Christ. There is more, church, to the Christian life than confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, no doubt Jesus Christ is the starting point. No doubt Jesus Christ gives us access to God. But I believe there is more. Because there is more for those individuals who are not satisfied with only hearing about what was done in the past, but actually doing what was done in the past. I thought about thinking about our old lives. And can you sit down and really go back? For some of us, it's a long ways. For others, it happened yesterday. But you lived a life that was defeated. You lived a life where there was no hope. You lived a life where there was despair. Honestly, you lived a life where I think a lot of us knew the answers, but we were just unwilling to embrace what we needed in our life. And then bottom line, we lived a life where we operated in our own strength and tired all the time. But church, I want you to understand, if you are a born-again believer, if you have professed that Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you are not the same person that you used to be. And the only one that keeps you there is Satan. And you and I got to get up and understand who we are. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and then the scripture says, behold. And it literally means for you and I, look. New things have come. It's twofold. One, people will look at you to go, you're not the same person that you used to be. But I thought last night, you and I need to start looking. Because we're not the same people that we used to be. And then it says, now all these things are from God. You and I can never get cocky enough to go, this is me. No, anything that you got after professing Christ is not about you. It's about what God's going to do in you and through you because of Christ Jesus our Lord. But it says, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Now, church, think about what this just said. First of all, when you profess Christ as your Lord, you became a new creature in Christ. Satan wants to take all of the past, and there's not one person in this room that has not messed up. And I talked to a gentleman the other day. The Bible says no one's perfect. And I think when they were writing it, someone was going, really? And I think the writer had to reiterate it one more time. Yep. There ain't one person in this world that's perfect. So we need to understand that Satan's the one that's going to want to load your plate up with all the stuff that you've done in the past. Our task is to understand that we're new, the old is come, and a new life, or the old life is gone and a new life has come. Well, what does that mean? That means, number one, what you used to be and not. I teased Arnold this morning. I went yesterday and joined AA for fat people, okay? That's called WW, Weight Watchers, okay? The only thing that they don't make you do is stand and go, hi, I'm Keith, I'm fat. I didn't have to do that, okay? But the challenge with all of this is, as of yesterday, what I used to be, I'm not going to be, okay? What I used to be as an alcoholic years ago, I'm not today. Satan might want to talk to me about this is what you used, and I'm going to go, you're right, that's what I used to be. But today, I'm a child of God. The other thing that we miss out on, church, is that if you are in Christ, you got something the rest of the world doesn't have. You are now a supernatural individual because of the supernatural person that lives in you, and now you have supernatural ability to do the supernatural things that God has called you to do. I think we become satisfied with going, I have professed Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that's the greatest thing initially that we could ever do. The other thing that's so awesome with becoming a new creature in Christ, you've been reconciled to God. You know, there was a wall that stood between us and God, but when we profess Christ, the curtain tears, and now we have access to God. We have been reconciled with God. God wants to be around us because he doesn't look at us. He looks at us through Christ, and he knows that the sins were placed upon Christ, and when he sees us, we are just as white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We have a right standing with Christ. But church, he has given you and me a ministry. A lot of people come to church to go, you know, I'm going to come and worship, and we need to come to church, and we need to get worship because we have ministered all week long. So he has given you and I a ministry of reconciliation where we go to our friends and our families and those people that we see at the store, the people that are having a tough time, to go, listen, I've got the answer to your problem.
Amen.
And then it says that you and I are ambassadors to Christ. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I got to tell you where I came from and where I am. And when someone says, I'm an ambassador for Christ, I get to go, I get to represent the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. It don't get any better than that. But see, church, we're not doing that. See, there is more because I know there's more. But the church has become satisfied hearing a message on Sunday morning about what they used to do in the New Testament, and I'm telling you that the satisfaction needs to stop, and you and I got to go, I want to experience not what I hear, but I want to experience what they did in my life.
Amen.
And that's the ministry that God has given us. Carolyn Raven's not here today, but we have prayed for Carolyn for a long time in regards to her knee. Well, I mean, I went there that day, and Arnold and Kent went with me. He had to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's early for surgery, man, I got to tell you. Laid hands on her and said, God, please, just when they get in, you know, please, may the knee just a miracle. Well, they got in, and it wasn't a miracle that was performed on that piece of the knee, but what they had found out that was a miracle is that she had internal bleeding in her knee. And if God hadn't interceded through the prayers of this church, the doctor said, I have no idea where that would have gone. So Carolyn looked at the knee to go, I got the knee fixed, but praise God, he had interceded for me in regards to the internal bleeding in her knee. Now, here is what really saddens me, church, in the midst of the Christian life today, is that when things begin to go wrong, and we know the condition of the world, we want to blame everybody else. Okay? Look at Facebook. We want to blame everybody else. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Timothy says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Some transcripts say, I finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Everyone in this room has been given a course that you're going to have to run. My course is not yours. Yours is not mine. To follow that course, we're going to need faith because it's not going to be easy. And in Luke 9:23, Luke says, and he was saying to them all, he said to everyone there, he being Jesus, if anyone wishes to come after me, it's a voluntary opportunity. You got to do a couple things. First of all, you got to deny yourself. And then it says, pick up your cross. That's the course. Whatever course has God given you. And then it specifically says, pick up the cross daily and then follow me. See, Christianity no longer fights the good fight. And I want you to think about it. And, you know, you hear all this stuff that was posted on Facebook after the slaughter of those children. You and I, the Christian community, have allowed God to be taken out of the schools. You and I have allowed prayer to be taken out of the schools. We have allowed the Ten Commandments to be taken off the walls of our courthouses. And what is most scary is that we are allowing Islam to take the place of Christianity. And church, every time, the silent minority that's out here says that something is offensive, then our political leaders cower down. Amen. In an effort to be politically correct so that they do not offend. And because of all of that, the face of America is changing. And I'm going to tell you how I feel. That offends me. We have to start today to remember who we are. Gil Pena is going to be dispatched in country for 9 months. And he and the hundreds of people that he is going to supervise are going over there to fight a war that allows us to come to church on Sunday. And the problem with Christianity is that we come in, we worship, we sing songs, we sit our bottoms on our chairs, we leave here on Sunday afternoon, and we think that we have done our religious duties. And I'm telling you today that we're new creatures with a new life. We have access to God. We have been given a ministry to fulfill. And you and I are ambassadors for Christ. And we have got to get to the place, church, where we stand tall for the cause of Christ. I read a Facebook post where so many people are calling that we have stricter gun regulations. Many cities have done that, and the murder rate has been absolutely disastrous. I'm just here to tell you that they can take the citizen's gun, but if you're a crook, you're going to get a gun, whether you steal it or not. But I read another Facebook, and it says, does a pencil misspell words? Do cars drive drunk? This one hit home. Do forks make people fat? Yeah, that burned fork I ain't using there no more. I'm going to eat with my hands from now on, Martha. And then it said, do guns kill people? And the answer is no. What is missing in this world today is personal accountability. We have a political system that has misplaced their ethics. They have misplaced their morality. They have misplaced their decency, all for one thing, and that's political gain. Midterm elections are coming up, and, you know, if you're going to fight the good fight, I don't care if you're Democrat, and I don't really give a rip if you're Republican, Independent, Greenhouse, Tea House, Purple House, or Orange House. I don't care what faith or denomination, little Republican, again, that group that you want to vote for. But here's what I am going to ask you to do. First of all, go out and vote. But secondly, sit down and search and pray and seek. I don't think that anybody should ever vote a specific party ever again. I think we need to pull the person up to go, do they have Christian values or not? I don't care if everybody is Democrat. If they have got Christian values, I'm going to vote for them. I don't care if they're all Republican. If they got Christian values, I'm going to vote for them. But the flip side of that, if you're into abortion, if you're into taking away our constitutional rights, I don't want you on there, and I don't want you representing me. The church, with all of that said, I want us to understand as Christians that we now are the problem. Christianity is a dying religion. And one of the sad things that I read recently in a book, that people are abandoning church today despite this increasing desire to experience the miraculous power of God. And people are giving up hope. You know, we come to church, we play the religious game, we say, I went to church on Sunday, but there is no desire for the more. And there is more to the Christian life than just coming to church on Sunday morning. Christianity no longer has the influence that it once did, and my question to all of us is this: where did the power go? Now, if someone was going to break into your house, are you just going to sit there and go, I'm going to do nothing? I promise you that there are people in this room that will get ignorant, and I'm going to lead the pack. I just got to tell you that you and I, the world is falling apart, and we're sitting still doing absolutely nothing. Look at Acts 3 and verse 4. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him, and he said, look at us. Now, I have never seen this before. Maybe you have. When Peter and John saw the man lying or sitting at the gate, and Peter and John went up to them, and they said, "Peter and silver and gold I don't have." I think Peter and John knew that something was going to happen when they said that, because they said, "Look at us." And I think they had the boldness to go, "I got nothing to offer you, but my God told me that I got the power to do something. And because I got the power to do it, look at me, and I'm going to expect that word to do what God said that it's going to do." We go, we pray, but do you have an expectation that God's word is going to be manifested in the midst of this? I'm the first one here to go, "I'm not playing games. I don't want to play this religious kind of game that so many people are playing when it comes down to the Holy Ghost. I don't want to do that." Everything that comes from the Holy Spirit, but it's got to be real, not fake. Why do you think that they would expect, when they said, "Rise up," that this man would be healed and he would get up? Would it be because they've done it before? Or could it be that they listened to God's word and they had faith in God's word? Maybe they didn't understand God's word, but if God's word said it, then they go, "That's good enough for me." And then they went to that man and said, "Get up off your feet." Now, when you read that, it says that they reached down and grabbed him and pulled him up. See, when they reached down because of their faith in the word of God, the power of God went through them into him and raised him up. And the scripture says that he danced and he praised God throughout the town, showing people what God has done. Here's what I believe most of all. Look at Acts 1:8. See, I believe that they remembered what God said: "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And the power had come. Look at Acts 2 and verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Church, this is where I'm a little different than others. I believe that when we pray to receive Jesus Christ, you get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't believe when we pray to receive Christ that the Holy Spirit is over here and that's just something different that I have to go after. I believe that I got it all. But what the Bible says to us, how much more of the Holy Spirit will God give to them that ask? And you and I have got to get to the place where we begin to understand that an experience is what you get from God when want and need merge together. We saw the change in Peter's life when he was touched by the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't his words, but that extended hand that carried the power of God. And that power flowed from that moment where it met the need and the want, and it changed that man's life. As you read the rest of that story, our question changes from "How did they do that?" to this question: Is it still possible to do it today? You know, I sat down and began to think, suffering hasn't been eliminated. It's still here. There is need all around, everywhere you look. People are still in lack. People are still lost. People are still sick. Society hasn't changed from back then to where it is today, so my answer is, can it still happen today? And You know, I've read the Bible, and I can't find an expiration date on the Great Commission. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. See, Christ told the people, I'm going to leave with you, and I want you to stay, and what's going to come is a gift that you need to have. Now, he says, I'm going to go to the Father, but I want you to stay till you receive the gift. And we know on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost fell on those people and that their entire lives were changed. Well, do I think it can still happen today? Here's my case. First of all, Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He sits next to his daddy. He hasn't come back to get us. There is no expiration date on the Great Commission. There is still a great need in the world today. So if he hasn't come back and he has given us the mission, then there must be something that still needs to be done till he comes back to get us, and he's given us the power to do it, but he's not going to give us the power if we're not going to use the power. Sad thing with the church today is that the church is sitting down waiting on God, and God goes, you got everything you need. We have been given grace and forgiveness. We have been given the opportunity to access God. We have the opportunity to a righteous life. But the focus has shifted now from within us to beyond us. And what God is asking the church to do, you can't do by yourself. I have no power to raise someone from the dead, got no power to heal the sick, got no power to cast out a demon. I got nothing. And we learned last week, when you plug in the cord and you turn on the switch and the power comes up the cord through the switch into the light, now you and I become the light in a very dark world. And this world is looking for something, and who's going to tell them if you and I are not the voice to tell them? I believe that when we prayed to receive Christ again, it means that you and I got everything that we need. Now I want you to look at this as we kind of wrap all this together. Look at Luke 11 and verse 13. It says, if you then, being evil, which we are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But see, church, if we're only willing to listen to what happened with the disciples years ago, if we have become satisfied with that, then we will never ask God for more to go, I'm not content with hearing, I won't be content till I begin to do for the cause of Christ. And again, I don't believe that God is going to give to you and me something if we're not going to use it. Evil is rampant, church, in our country. Police are being ambushed. Children are being slaughtered. It's not about the guns. It's about a broken system. And you go, yeah, our governmental system is broken. And you're correct. But the system that God created, church, is broken. See, God didn't go to the cross so that you and I could feel comfortable throughout the course of the week. What God said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to pick up your cross. You're going to deny yourself, and you're going to follow me. There is nothing in that statement of comfortability. The course that God has called some of you to run is not an easy course. The course that God has called us to live is not an easy life. But God said, deny yourself and follow me. If you have never asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, then today, through our prayer time, I want you to ask God to go, God, I know that I got you. I know that I got everything. But maybe I don't know how to use it. Maybe I don't understand. And some people will go, you got everything you need. Well, maybe you do, but maybe you need to crack the shell around it so it begins to ooze on out so that you could use it. I don't know how all that process is, but I do know this, that you and I have got to be the vessel that he pours the word and the power through so that it pours out through us to others. And I'm going to ask today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ, one, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, do it today. But if you've got the Lord, then I'm going to ask you to say, Father, I know that there's more, and I'm not satisfied with listening what they did. I want to be a part of what you're doing right here and right now. And see, I don't think we should be satisfied till the Bible says our cup overflows. I don't want a half cup of power. I don't want a three cup of power. I want a full cup of God's power so that when I reach out and I look at somebody, I can go, look at me, because what I got for you ain't coming from me. It's going to come from God. Now get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Got to tell you, it's going to take boldness, church, to do that. But I'm going to encourage this church today, as small as we are, that we need to be the catalyst that gets God back in school. We need to be the catalyst that gets prayer back in school. We need to be the catalyst that gets the Ten Commandments back on the wall. We need to be the catalyst that sits there and prays for our governmental leaders. Even if you don't agree with them, pray that God will open up their eyes and they will become the people that God has created them to be. One of the things that people don't understand is that God picks our leaders. You might not like Trump, but God put him there. Yeah. People might not have liked Obama, but God put him there. And we need to pray for him so that we will live a Christian life according to God's principles. And if we would quit picking at everything and decide to work together, then maybe we could go forward instead of disintegrating along the way. Church, what I'm going to ask you to do, Pastor D's going to begin to play. And I'm going to ask that you come to this altar. If you believe that you got everything that God wants you to have, then praise God, hallelujah. Amen. If you believe that you're lacking in something, then with the boldness that only comes from God, come up to this altar and go, God, I want it all. And then, church, you and I have got to make a commitment that after this day, we are not satisfied any longer with hearing. We won't be satisfied and content until we become the doers of God's word. Could you imagine what we could do if we could get God back in school? Could you imagine how awesome it would be that they would begin with the Pledge of Allegiance and we would begin with prayer?
Come on, hallelujah.
Could you imagine how awesome it would be in our courthouses that were those four holes that used to hold the Ten Commandments that we as a church, I'm going to go, Larry, come on with me over here and let's hold them up and let's screw them back in the wall again. Amen. Church, we can make a difference for the cause of Christ. Amen. But are you willing to plug in? Are you willing to utilize? Are you willing to go, God, I want the whole thing because I want to change this world for you. So as Pastor D begins to play, the altar is yours. You come to God, you speak to Him, tell Him what you want, tell Him what you like, tell Him what you don't like, but speak to Him today. One of the talk show hosts said, you know, if God speaks back to us, that's a sign of mental illness. Well, here, I am mentally insane then because my daddy talks to me all the time. So I'm going to have prayer partners come up forth. You guys come up. Let's give it to God today. And from this day forward, when you come to church, you expect something great to happen in God's house. Amen.